Welcome back. Welcome to the Isolationist podcast number 2. Fucking ridiculousness has not happened since last week or anything. So there's no huge update or anything that I have. But I have decided to start fucking with people's perceptions of how I'm actually living my life. For the past week, I've been convincing my friends in New Jersey that I am both homesteading and I recently purchased a horse. Now, everyone who knows me knows that I'm flat broke. There's no fucking way I'm gonna get a horse. That, and there's about, as of right now, there's 13 inches of fucking snow on my front lawn. So there's no fucking way I'm gonna be able to have a horse, nor do I have a barn. Everyone knows this, but everyone that I know has been talking about this. It's gone through. My mom and dad aren't on social media, and they've been asking me how my horse is. I don't know how it got back to them, because I have my entire family fucking blocked on Facebook, so that they don't fucking end up thinking that I do all this shit. But the reason I started doing it is just to realize, like, something that my girlfriend showed me, is that social media is bullshit. It's always been bullshit. I don't know if anyone gets it or not. I don't know if people actually gauge their lives compared to what people post on social media, but your social media self, it's not your real self. You know how many times when I was a comic I would stage shit just because it was funny on social, on fucking Instagram or for Twitter? I can't tell you how many times I gave away, like, bras and panties and stuff, saying that they were just leftovers from some girl left it there to make myself look fucking cool, because that's what I needed for validation at that point in my fucking life, like a loser. But all of those, I was working for a bra and panty company. I had tons of bras laying around, so I used to give that shit out, and people were like, oh my god, he's such a lady killer, he's Clark Gable, haha, because it was a character I was taking on. It was a character that at that point in my young life, that I was like 20 to, I stopped it when I was like 22, 23, after I actually started doing well with fucking women, and actually not having to present that, I still took a lot of validation and had some issues until like 25 or 26, but I'm saying that, like, it's all bullshit, and just to prove it to myself, because, you know, if I'm gonna come out on a podcast, or if I'm just gonna think this in life, I gotta do an experiment and sort of validate my results. And the thing is, over a stupid fucking horse, everyone's fucking buying it. To the point that, like, I had a friend do one of those stupid face-in-hole things. I don't know what they are. She did it. She fucking suggested it and just did it. Of me on a horse with the Shutterstock fucking logo on it, still on it. And the guy on the horse in this picture has a completely fucking different body type than me. It's only been a year and a half that I haven't been in New Jersey or New York City. There's no way my body is that fucking ripped. They think that magically you move to Vermont and you become this fucking caveman that's in ridiculously good shape farming. But yeah, it's all bullshit to the point where, like, my mom and dad asked how my horse is doing. I was like, huh, who told you that? And I decided to just keep going with it. I'm going to tell everyone, because none of my friends are going to fucking listen to this. No one in my family listens to this. No one listens to any of the comedic shit that I do. I've never had the support from my family telling me that I should keep doing this stuff. I just do it because it fucking amuses me. I'm just gonna keep it going. I told my family, it's been a year and a half, my family has not visited me. They don't give a shit that I moved 10 hours away from them. They don't really care how I'm doing. They wrote me a loan, though, that I'm working on paying back, because some shit hit the fan when I first moved here, and it took me a year and a half to get a fucking job up here. 70 interviews is what I had to do to find a fucking job up here, so that I could slowly become self-sustaining, before I move to somewhere that's even more remote, and I can't even do these stupid fucking things anymore, because cell phones, I won't even have electricity, hopefully. but I think until my family comes and sees it, I'm just gonna fake that I have a horse for, like, however long it takes. My girlfriend named the horse, named it Cracker Barrel, just out of nowhere. And I just went, nah, fuck it. Let's just do it. Let's just play along with it. She and I, basically what started this was there was a drug. And this leads me into the other thing. Well, what started all this was weird shit happens in the middle of nowhere. You know that show Courage the Friendly or the Scared Dog or whatever? I don't give a shit what the fucking name of it is. But that old cartoon about a dog and an old lady and an old guy, and they're in the middle of nowhere and they have like ghosts and weird shit that happens all the time to them. That's the type of stuff that happens here. So what brought about the entire horse thing was I was at a brewery with my girlfriend and there was a drunk horse there. Yeah, it was just this woman was really weird about her horse. I grew up around horse people, so I know what like normal affection towards a horse is versus like too much affection towards a horse is. And like the woman was drunk too. She was kind of kissing the horse and like there's a, you kiss your dogs, you know, you kiss your ferrets, you kiss your turtles, you kiss your sugar sliders, you kiss your non-venomous snakes, you kiss your tarantulas, whatever pet you got, right? So you kiss it. you pet your ginkgos, you pet your bearded dragons, you pet your iguanas. You pet your parrot, or you kiss, shit, I switched to pet instead of kiss. Basically, she was, this woman was going in a little bit too hard with her horse, and she was showing all the tricks she's taught it, which was to lift its leg in various different ways. Congratulations. I had a horse that, when I was younger, I had a horse that would open up the fucking gates for me. It could undo locks. That's teaching an animal something. That was a trick that I was fucking proud of, because it made my life easier when I was trying to bring my horse into and out of pens. It could pretty much fucking do it itself for me. But yeah, she was like all about her horse to the point that like she rode to the bar with two other people that were on horses. And when they got to, it was a brewery actually. When they got to the brewery, they separated themselves completely from this woman, because once she got drunk, she was just, you know, it was really weird. But then, after she's done making out with it, she starts pouring beer into this thing's mouth. Now, I get it, it's like, it's oats and hops and malt and all shit that you can feed a horse. Fun fact, you can feed a horse all that shit, grains and stuff. That's what they eat, grains and grass and hay, and they lick salt that is in a block. You can do that, but not when it's, like, you know, alcoholic. Like, you know how everyone knows you're not supposed to, not supposed to get your dog drunk? Like, everyone knows that, but we still do it every now and again. I think there's a difference between getting your dog drunk and getting a fucking horse that you're about to get back on top of and fucking take it on a trail ride. Like, I kept thinking, like, is that like a DUI if they're both drunk, or is that just a party? And then I wondered if that was foreplay for her. Like, is she going back? She's making out the horse. They both got drunk at a brewery. Sounds like a date to me. It doesn't sound like you own that horse, lady. It sounds like you're taking your horse out for a date. Because it was like a craft brewery, right? Call me a faggot. Call me a fucking loser. Call me a douchebag. Tell me I'm fake and gay. Like, do all that. I go to breweries. I love microbrews. I love craft breweries. Fucking, I don't go to Trader Joe's and shit, but whatever. In the comments, tell Riven Landon, because I won't ever fucking look at this. Tell them how much of a fucking loser dirtbag I am, because I love craft beer. But yeah, it's a hipster fucking thing about me. But some of those beers are fucking expensive, and you don't give them to a goddamn horse. Number one. Number two, it takes a lot of beer to get a horse drunk, is what I learned. So her bar tab was probably fucking outstanding, and she lives in the middle of nowhere in Vermont. I'm just gonna venture to say she probably can't afford that horse's fucking bar tab. These are the things I worry about, but plenty of other weird stuff happens here. And it's like different kind of weird. It's not like, oh my god, I was chased by a guy with a knife on the A train, or like, oh, I was walking through Rockefeller Plaza and a fucking a tourist just dropped their pants and shat on my fucking new Nikes. That kind of shit. I mean, okay, there's meth heads and heroin addicts that'll shit on your front porch, but I mean, they're not gonna shit directly on your new Nikes because they know that they can steal that. That's a thing when you're in the middle of nowhere, too. Crime is way different. They kind of take care of their own. Everyone's armed. Pretty much everyone in my immediate area has guns or has either has them locked up or keeps them on them. So this leads to another weird story besides a woman getting a horse drunk. So my girlfriend and I go to this thing called Manifest. It's set by a local Baptist church. We love it. We're not religious. We're both diehard atheists. But we love to look at what goes on in our town and be like, oh, that's the best that they can do. Like, this is big for some people. Like, we love looking and making fun of just the shit that goes on there. And it's like you get a whole bunch of people who are Baptists together. You get white trash Baptists in a park singing. Like, their big thing is that they give ice cream away. And ice cream's actually pretty expensive for a lot of the people in the area that we live. So a lot of people, like, a big thing is, like, no one where I live has ever really seen outside of, like, 20 to 30 miles of where we live. Like, most people don't ever leave Franklin County or Chittenden County. Like, they stay in those areas. We're at Manifest, and you know, it was just like families that we know hit each other. Like, you know, the wife is rocking a fresh shiner because it was on a Sunday, and they're just sitting in the sitting in the park in town going to Manifest. The duality of it makes us fucking laugh too, where you know, like, you can, there's people who are shooting up heroin and then going to Manifest. Like, I can see smoking weed and going to Manifest, but I can't see me fucking sticking a needle in my arm, feeling the warm and fuzzies, like getting drunk on tequila and floating in a warm fucking pool. I can't see doing that and then going, you know what would make this heroin a lot better? A religious festival. But they have great things at this, like local children who sing terribly. And, you know, local people that sing just god-awfully. So it's kind of like watching car crashes, the bad people on, what was that show, Simon Cowell, America's Got Talent, with Simon Cowell? Yeah. But we're driving back, and my girlfriend and I just see, you know, a larger 14 to 16-year-old girl, walking back with her belly out. That's a big thing here, is people keep their bellies out for Harambe here. It's not dicks out for Harambe, it's bellies out because you look like an albino version of Harambe. We look at her and she looks at us, but she's walking different. She's walking like the Yeti footage from like the 1960s. This is like one lumbering gal. She's walking with a stance that shows purpose. And we make eye contact. And then all we see is in her right arm, she's been hiding that she's got an ass-kicking bat. And we do a circle around just to see where this girl's going. Girl with an ass-kicking bat. Now, if you don't know what an ass-kicking bat is a bat where you take the entire top of it and you put electrical tape or you put painter's tape on it, because once you're done with the beating, you can just take that shit off and burn it, and there's no DNA left on the bat. There's no proof that that was the weapon used. Yeah, it's an ass-beating bat. Fun fact for everyone. I learned that in Newark, actually, not up here. But my girlfriend and I see that this girl with her ass-kicking bat is, she's walking towards Manifest. She's beelining it for the religious festival because it's ending when we're leaving. And after we do a turnaround and see this girl walking again, going back towards our place, See, this girl, she is about to take someone the fuck out as they leave manifest. That's how dirty justice is. But I love hearing the differences between, like, what people think crazy in New York versus crazy in the country is. Because, like, you know, I had stories when I was in New York that I thought were crazy. Like, oh my god, I jumped off a moving N train. Or was it the R? Doesn't matter. They both go to the same place. In Bay Ridge at 3 a.m. when I was drunk because I woke up as it was leaving the station and really needed to get back to where I was staying in Bay Ridge. So I jumped on a train as it was moving. Thought that shit was crazy. You know what's crazier? My girlfriend went to a sandwich shop on Saturday, and there was a woman who didn't know what oregano was. I'm gonna let that stew for a second. I'm gonna let that stew. I once hopped on a train on the outside. I didn't have the money to get back to New Jersey. I once hopped on the outside of a train that went under the fucking tunnels and everything to get back to where I was living in North Brunswick. To hop the fare, I jumped on the outside of it and rode the outside of a train through tunnels and shit where I was, like, you know, inches away from getting hit by the sides of shit. I'm a big guy. My head could have been fucking hit by something. Anything. That's less crazy to me than the fact there is a human being who works in a sandwich shop and doesn't know what oregano is. It was a real simple sandwich I wanted. Turkey, Swiss cheese, mayo. Get me the white trash special, please. That's what I wanted. That's what a turkey with anything with mayo or Miracle Whip. Just call it the white trash special. That's what it is, guys. But it was pretty simple. Salt, pepper, oregano. My girlfriend, this woman gets everything else spot on. My girlfriend texts me and goes, weird. This woman didn't know what oregano was. When she said oregano, the woman went, what are you talking about? My girlfriend goes, you know, oregano, the green spice. Pretty common in Italian food. And the woman goes, oh, we have a bunch of stuff that we put on pizza, but it's not all green. It's got, like, garlic in it, and it's got some red pepper. Do you want me to put the pizza stuff on that? Lady, have you never made your quote-unquote pizza stuff? I can guarantee you that shit has oregano in it. And then I was like, oh, maybe this woman just can't read. Because that's a real worry I have to have where I live. There's a high illiteracy rate. Most people don't make it through high school here. Then they complain about jobs and shit because manufacturing's gone. And then Trump gets fucking elected as the president of the United States because people like that somehow manage to get a fucking TV and cable and fucking go, you know what? That guy's saying clean coal. Clean coal doesn't exist! There's no such thing as clean coal, you fucking idiots! But, yeah. Fucking just almost made myself pass out from screaming. Yeah. Fucking, I gotta worry whether this woman's illiterate or not. And whether every idiot she works with is illiterate too. And they're all just fucking mouth breathers banging on shit like monkeys. Her training, yeah. Her training. Her boss probably talks just as fucking awful as she does. If you want the green stuff, it goes on the pizza. You put the red stuff and with the green stuff, and then you put it on pizzas. It does not go on sandwiches. If anyone asks, if that goes on sandwiches, it does not go on sandwiches. Boss says it's only for pizzas. But there is a human being that doesn't know what oregano is, number one. And number two, she will probably never know what oregano is because she can't read the word oregano. She can't read the word oregano on the shit she's putting on our food. Which makes me worry about the quality of my fucking food, too, now that I think about it. How fucking stupid am I for eating that sandwich? Not only did my girlfriend accidentally make this woman feel stupid by not knowing what oregano is, but which, by the way, you should feel stupid if you don't know what oregano is and someone asks you, like, hey, can I get some oregano, and you have no idea. But I ate the sandwich that made that woman feel bad. I'm the real idiot in this situation. Again, constantly I'm proving to myself through this podcast that I'm a fucking degenerate idiot moron with some growing up to do. I should have just thrown that sandwich out. Now I'm eating an illiterate person's bodily fluids. Ugh. If they can't read, they probably have something I can catch. Why the fuck did I eat that sandwich? I ate my girlfriend's sandwich too. Because she's smart enough where she didn't eat the fucking sandwich, realizing that woman was probably an idiot and pissed off. She didn't eat her sandwich. I ate her sandwich too. I got double the stupid. Fucking ridiculous. Other weird shit that's gone on. I wrote a couple. Normally when I tell a story, I rehearse it, I work it out, fucking get my thoughts out, I erase the dumb ones, I get rid of the racist ones, because those aren't funny anymore. Alright. So normally I do that stuff. You're not getting that level of quality anymore from me. I'm doing this shit for free until the other guys on this podcast network and myself get our shit together and get a sponsor. How hard is it for Fleshlight, huh? Has anyone even emailed the guys at Fleshlight and asked them to give us some money? They'll give anyone money. How about stamps.com? That's on every fucking podcast. Can we reach out and get some stamps.com money? This podcast is brought to you by Onnit. They're not paying me. I just really love Onnit products. Yeah, all right, Joe. Fucking not even a... This podcast isn't... I don't even have the money to run this fucking podcast out of a garage. Like Marc Maron. He's got that, He's got that stamps.com money. What's the next story? Oh! So I wrote a book. I'm going to talk about this in every podcast, hoping that eventually some more people buy my book so that I can get some fucking money behind me, so that I can become a real adult. So, to celebrate the release of my book, because it was bought by Walmart, that's how I knew I made it, Walmart went, yup, that's the type of book we're gonna carry. Fucking hate me. Can't do anything with any decorum, any class. I do my best to try and be somewhat of a classy individual, and then life constantly reminds me that I'm the trash of the family, that I am the garbage person. That's why I moved. I just couldn't keep up with my fucking family. They're all rich and in the medical field and doing well for themselves, having kids and diamonds and shit that I don't understand, talking about their IRAs. I'm gonna regret. I'm gonna hate Christmas. Because I don't know the difference between like a Roth IRA and a fucking Merrill Lynch IRA. I don't even know if those are two different types of fucking IRAs. I don't even know what IRA stands for. That's a, oh, my family's gonna be like, how's your 401k doing, Brad? I don't know. I'm just gonna fucking start hoarding gold and burying it in the backyard. That's what I'm gonna do. Like a true white fucking white trash redneck hillbilly. Alright, so this story, my book came out, and I was really, 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 really poor. A story that I'm going to tell after this. I was working for a big $9.50 an hour, at a resort known as Jay Peak. I was promised a marketing job there. That never came through because there was a huge fucking investment scandal where essentially the owner of that shit stole like $5 million from a bunch of Chinese people. Donald Trump would be proud, Bill Steiner! But I was working there. There was a hiring freeze. I didn't get a marketing job. So I had to fucking climb my ass up a mountain every day, go to work, whether it be by foot or so I had to park at the bottom of the mountain one day, so my car wouldn't make it up, fucking walk miles up a goddamn mountain of 1,850 fucking feet in the air, because that's where the resort was, whatever. But my book comes out, and I'm really, really dirt poor, so I decide to celebrate the best way I know how, which is to get a little taste of home, some mozzarella sticks, some of that fucking oregano on it. I'm just like, all right. So I'm standing in line to fucking, did I tell this on the last one? I don't know. I'm standing in line to fucking eat these mozzarella sticks with $5 that I probably don't actually have, to just say, hey, good job, you wrote a book. A couple thousand people are gonna buy this. You did it. Like, that was my dream when I was a kid, is I wanted so badly to write a book and have it get published. And then my entire dream got so fucked over. But I'm sitting there, I'm standing in line at the gas station. That's it, gas station mozzarella sticks. That's about how good I feel about myself on a daily basis, to be honest. That's all I deserve. And a guy just turns to me, and he goes, hey, aren't them those hot dogs? I went, no, dude, these are mozzarella sticks. And he goes, no, those aren't mozzarella sticks. What's a mozzarella stick? He goes, no, those are them tiny little hot dogs that you get in a can that it's really hard to open, that you cut your fucking fingers opening the can, and then you end up chewing all the meat off your fingers because there's more meat on your fingers than there are on those hot dogs. And then by the end of it, you're just really upset that you paid 59 cents for a can of hot dogs when you could have just paid like $2 for an entire package of real hot dogs. And I looked at him and I went, that's really specific. And you're a complete stranger. Like, Dad, that was fucking ridiculous in my mind. But then he does the most deplorable thing I have ever had happen to me in my entire life. He goes, nah, see, these are them hot dogs. And this is a man who believed, like, dirty fingers mean clean money. Like, that's a big thing around here. People think, like, my manual labor job gives me some sense of pride, because dirty hands mean clean money. No, it doesn't. No, it fucking doesn't. That doesn't mean shit. Why do you even say that? You know how many screwball fucking mechanics there are? Every time I go to my fucking mechanic with my car, another fucking piece of shit thing happens to my piece of shit to begin with car. You think that's just like, oh, magically happens? No! Fucking mechanics are bullshit! They are! You know how many people? I used to work as a warehouse manager. My fingers were always fucking dirty. I didn't do shit at that job. I didn't. To be honest, I didn't do shit. Doesn't mean clean money. Fuck off. But this guy, with oil under his fingernails, he had been working outside for years in negative 20 degree weather, like it was no problem. It's how leathery his fucking hands were. A real man's hands, I guess. But he just fucking jabs those fucking daggers directly into one of my mozzarella sticks. Just fucking fingers the shit out of it and goes, huh. I didn't say, huh, that's kind of my thing. I don't care about something someone's saying. I just respond by going, huh. He just sticks this fucking filthy little fucking greased up pig in a blanket finger into my mozzarella stick. He goes, oh, I guess these aren't them hot dogs. No shit. Hot dogs don't have breading on them. Fucking sticks his finger in and I'm like, dude, do you want the mozzarella stick? You just fucked with your fingers? And he goes, no, I'm good. I don't like hot dogs anyway. And he walks out. I said, didn't you just fucking say it wasn't a hot dog? But then it was my turn in line, and I asked the cashier, I was like, hey, do you care if I go get new mozzarella sticks? He just stuck his finger in them. And he goes, nah, you gotta buy those when someone's touched them. I was like, how about I just get, like, one mozzarella stick? And he goes, nah, just just pay for the mozzarella sticks, dude. He's like, come on. So I pay with the fucking no money that I had, the money that I don't have to begin with. I paid for someone else to humiliate me during my celebration of fucking writing a book. My fucking glorious moment where I'm gonna eat something that's gonna fucking comfort me and make me feel decent. Fucking someone ruins it, and then I still have to pay for it. And I looked at that and I was like, man, that's how my life has always been. Me being humiliated, being an idiot. Another two things that happened at that resort that I talked about previously. I did like working at the resort. Occasionally, if I went above and beyond, I would get tipped out the asshole. But that's only I was working behind the front desk. Tip the guy at the front desk, people. If you're staying at a hotel, the guy who checks you in, flip him a couple bucks, you'll get taken care of. If there's any amenities at those resorts, you're getting it for free if you pay the fucking person at the front desk. Alright? They don't track the fucking little hand, fucking arm bracelets to get into shit. They can't track how many of those they give out. So I'm working at the front desk, and, which one do I want to tell? Yeah, I'll tell this one first. Make it a quick one. Kid comes in. He's 17. He goes, hey, what's your gun policy here? And I go, dude, you're on a resort. Vermont's open carry and concealed carry. But you're on a resort. There's a lot of people here that aren't from Vermont. You're going to scare the shit out of them if they see you with a gun. And he goes, oh, don't worry. They won't ever see it. How fucking scary is that? First off, like, you're, alright, you're concealed carrying a gun on a resort, I don't fucking know you, I'm sitting there, and then my dumbass goes, are you fucking kidding me, dude? I was like, if you're just gonna concealed carry, the whole point is not to fucking tell me, so I don't get weirded out that you have a gun. Why the fuck are you doing that? Like, why did you just waste, I'm yelling at this guest, and he's 17, and he's just like, looking at me, and I go, midway through me yelling, I'm like, and I'm here, I'm sitting here with a fucking, I'm all alone at a fucking front desk at fucking 10 o'clock at night at a resort, and you're telling me you have a gun when I'm sitting here with a cash drawer full of money. I don't know what you're gonna fucking do. And then I just went to him, oh, I just realized something, dude. I'm the reason why we need gun control. Because you just told me you have a gun, and I told you, I yelled at you that I have a ton of money. And I yelled at you for being a prick. I'm the reason why people shouldn't have guns. Because again, dumb idiots like me who can't control themselves, who are impulsive, just fucking say shit. I just say shit to people without ever wondering whether I should say it or not. And maybe I should start wondering because people around here have guns. I could just piss off the wrong sociopath and get shot in the mouth. Yet I never act. I think the world's become too safe, is what I learned from this story. Is the world is too safe. Because if this was like 100 years ago, I'd be beaten to death for the things that I say to people. Or I'd be shot for the things that I fucking say to people. We don't need safe spaces. That's how idiots happen. Look at me. I'm living proof that when you give everyone a trophy, you get idiots. The only difference is I'm self-aware enough to know I'm a fucking moron. The other thing that I really liked, the one thing I loved about that hotel was they had a hockey rink. And they would have the hockey families come in, and these people would fuck up the hotel, and I would love it, because I hate it. Everyone else I worked with was like, oh, fuck these hockey kids, fuck them, they're always coming here and destroying this place, they're ruining everything, they're fucking loud all night, and I'm just like, I'm not fucking sleeping. Like, why do I give a shit about these guests? All the guests treat me like shit, no matter what. So now at least I have hockey kids ruining other people's fucking stay, right? Oh, and they would always complain. The good thing about being a JP is all the workers have a really good fuck you mentality to the guests that I really enjoy. Like, there's times where people use common sense there, where, like, a dude was complaining that his chicken wings were underdone, and he got really sick from them, and he was like, oh, I lost a night's sleep, can you give me at least my entire stay for free? And they're like, no, we're not even going to give you one night for free, because you were in that fucking bed. If you didn't have that fucking room, you would have just been sick everywhere else. Be happy that you can afford a goddamn bed, dude. Here's the cost of the chicken wings back. Now shut the fuck up, you fucking privileged hockey dad. But I love the hockey dads because I got along with them. They are deadbeat parents. I love myself a good deadbeat parent. So, like, while I was working, like, I just straight up comped these dudes. I knew they all had money. These dudes wanted to stay for an extra 2 days. We didn't have anyone coming into their rooms. Congratulations, dude. I don't give a shit about my job. Enjoy your two free fucking nights. You didn't complain to me. You asked fucking nicely. You get it for free. If you'd come and yelled at me and told me you want two free nights here, I would have fucking stuck my cock down your throat, but you're being awesome to me. And I know you're loaded. It's like, all right, you're getting a... It came out to like $1,000 value. Gave him $1,000 fucking free. Explained there was a problem with his room over the past few days to my boss. My boss was like, all right, we'll give him two free nights if he wants to fucking stay. And then he gives me his room number. And he goes, all right, man, I need you to bring a cot up. And I was like, all right, it's not really my job. And he goes, all right, then fuck the cot. Just come up. So I go up, and this dude hands me fucking bottles of top shelf fucking booze, which is great. He hands me $50 too, and he was like, all right, man, you've been pretty awesome and everything. Here's $50. Now that's nothing compared to me saving him thousands of dollars, and fucking room fees. But at least he fucking took care of me and gave something back. Gave me $50, gave me top shelf booze. And then he told me to come back later on tonight when his kids are passed out, because it'll just be the hockey dads. Just fucking, while I was there, it was like 1 a.m. I was in the shitty motel that no one checks into. I just set up the phone and said, call this number if you need help. I'll be right back. I'm in the back. I'll be right down. No one fucking called. Went right up to this dude's room. Got tanked with a bunch of hockey dads. And then they whip out fucking edibles. Hockey dads, I love you guys. You know how to fucking party. Those guys fucking took care of me. But then the next day I told my boss everything that happened except for the free room shit. And they're like, well, you can't really, you know, we discourage you going into guest rooms and we discourage all of that. And I was like, all right. So what am I supposed to do if I want to go in a guest room? And he goes, well, you just need to take your uniform off. That's it. That's how stupid fucking everything is to me. Like, oh, just take your uniform off and, like, yeah, then you can go into guest rooms on the clock and everything. You know, you were there the 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. and there were no check-ins. So, yeah, just take off your uniform and you can go into guest rooms just fine. Fucking great. So that's a few of just, oh, there's more weird shit I'm going to tell. That'll be The Isolationist 2, or that'll be my third podcast. I'm going to sign off for this one. Am I supposed to get, like, a good sign-off tab? Like, yeah, fuck you guys. Let me just try a bunch now. Go fuck yourselves. I live in the middle of nowhere. All right, and that's the end the ranting of a fucking psychopath. There we go. That's how I'm going to end every podcast now. We're working this shit out on the fly. That's what we're doing. All right? That's what I'm going to do to end this. See if I remember it in the week. End the rant of the fucking psychopath. Everyone's favorite fucking crazy person. Happy holidays. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. I don't know if this is going to come out before Thanksgiving. It probably won't. So Riv is going to have to edit that out. So enjoy your Christmas. Yeah, I say Christmas. Because fuck it. It's not a holiday. Enjoy your pagan rebirth rituals. Or your fucking Christmas. Or your harvest festival. It's all the same fucking religion anyway. We just call it Christmas. Keep Christ in it, why the fuck not? Because I don't give a shit. Enjoy. Alright? End the rantings of a fucking psychopath. Now let's listen to some Pet Shop Boys. Now that I'm done recording. West End Morning.
Shadows, whispering voices, faces on posters, too many choices.